You're not already your heart ringing this morning with praise. Your clapper's busted. You need to get that thing fixed. Thank you so much for such a beautiful expression of worship and praise. If you're under 30, you probably won't identify with what I'm going to describe for you next, but I'll try anyway. When we were growing up, we didn't have the privilege of television and History Channel and the Bible and all of those things. We had to use our imaginations, basically, and in those days of radio, we listened to the radio a lot, and Saturday nights was always one of my favorite times because some of my favorite programs to listen to came on Saturday night. One of them was Amos and Andy. You probably don't know what I'm talking about. Amos and Andy were two characters, African-American gentlemen who had a great sense of humor, and they told a lot of funny stories and had some episodes. And it went something like this. On one occasion, Andy is talking to Amos, and he says to him, "You know what?" Said the kingfish, and that was another one of their friends, said the kingfish, he always telling these stories that aren't funny or anything, and then when he gets to the end of the story, he'll slap me in the chest, and it hurts. And he said, "I tell you what, though, I'm going to get even with him." Said, "The next time that the kingfish come and start to slap me in the chest like that, I'm ready for him." And he opened up his jacket, and he had 6 sticks of dynamite strapped to his chest. He said, "I tell you, when that kingfish hit me, he going to blow his hand clean off." Of course, what Andy didn't realize was he was going to get blown to kingdom come himself. You know what one of the most common problems we face as individuals and as Christians is the need to be able to forgive those who hurt us. Forgiving those who hurt us. Let me just kind of get you on the page with me here. Who has hurt you recently? Maybe on your program there, you might want to just jot down the initials in small letters where nobody can see. Who has hurt you most recently? And if you think, "Well, not recently, no one has hurt my feelings, no one has hurt me." Who has hurt you the worst or the most in your lifetime? Maybe you don't want to feel safe writing that on a piece of paper, right on the palm of your hand here. Well, maybe you, what is it that has been done to you by someone or something, somewhere, sometime that you would like most to even the score, to get revenge or avenge that hurt for? Just jot down what it might be. Now, if you don't want to do that, here's what I want to ask you to think about. The first name or the first person that came to your mind, that probably is a good indicator that you need to learn how to forgive. In fact, I'm sure it is. You see, forgiveness is something that we all have to deal with. On the cross, God fleshed out for you and me how to forgive. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. Because when Jesus Christ hung upon the cross, as we are moving toward this Easter season, we think about the crucifixion of Jesus and how he died on the cross. One of the things that he said was, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Forgiveness is a key to the highway of holiness. We've been walking down that highway. We've seen some of the things you have to experience on the highway to holiness. One is humility, admitting that we need help, we need forgiveness. And another is brokenness, which leads us to confession and repentance and forgiveness. God forgave our sins so that we might have meaningful life here and hereafter. To have a full and meaningful life, we have to forgive others. We must learn to do that. To forgive means to set someone free from the debt that we feel they owe us. In the final moments of his ministry, Jesus on the cross demonstrated forgiveness for us. He showed us how to release all claims of anything owed and to express that from that day on. Forgiven people are forgiving. That's what the Bible teaches us. Now, some things would help to understand about forgiveness. Number one, forgiveness is a process as well as an act that takes place. And so when you're looking back to that hurt that someone has done to you or that thing that's happened in your life, it starts there, but there is a process involved in that. And as we begin to understand, how do I forgive? How do I forgive? The answer and the model for that is the Lord Jesus Christ, what he said on the cross when he said, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do." And Jesus made five choices there. Five choices. You have a little helper in your program there, if you have one. If not, I hope you'll write this down somewhere. As we go along, there'll be a sort of a, we'll outline these steps for you. And the reason I want you to pay close attention to that is that tonight when we come back at 6 o'clock and Tom leads us in our first worship time in this area out here, afterwards we're going to divide up into two groups. I'm going to take the guys and my helper here, and she's going to take the ladies, or the ladies will stay in here and the guys go with me. And we're going to talk about the preacher's sermon this morning. So just reserve what you normally do on Sunday at lunch until tonight. And we're gonna look at these five things about how do I forgive and talk about them. You don't have to say anything if you don't want to, but so just make yourself some notes here and let's see what we can do with it. Step number one. In order to forgive someone, you must release your feelings, your emotions. Boy, am I hurt. You have to do that. On the cross, Jesus cried out in pain as they drove the nails into his hand and in agony, he cried out, "Father, forgive them." He was hurting. God never intended hurt and pain to be internalized. You have to just suck it up, stuff it. No. And our Lord, even on the cross, expressed that hurt that he felt. He had real pain. He had real hurt. Sinful men representing all mankind were hurting him. He said, "Father, forgive them. Why have you forsaken me?" Real pain. We have to do that. And more than one time, Jesus expressed that. There were other occasions in the Bible when Jesus expressed the hurt and the pain that he was going through. So we see that. There's another occasion when Jesus saw a man with a paralyzed hand. And he realized that there were some church leaders watching Jesus that day to see what Jesus was going to do. You see, it was the worship day, like our Sunday on Sabbath, and they felt like it was more important that somebody keep the rules than it was for a paralyzed man to be made well. And the Gospel of Mark records this. When Jesus had looked around at them, underline this little word, with anger. Jesus looked around at them, the church leaders, with anger. Being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And as he stretched it out, his hand was restored as whole as the other. Sounds a little bit strange that church leaders would stir up the anger of the Lord, but they did. How did they do that? because they were not concerned for the hurting of other people. They were concerned for the rules that they knew around them. But Jesus had strong feelings about his anger, and he let it out. He said, "Boy, am I hurt?" Or you could see that he was hurt by it. In other words, don't stew over your hurt. Now, here's a good reason for that. When God created you and me, and he made us, he gave you an autonomic system. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, for instance, how many of you in here are still breathing? You still breathing? Who told you to breathe? Did anyone tell you to breathe? Of course. Your autonomic system said, breathe. Every few seconds, breathe. God made us that way. In other words, your autonomic system does a lot of things in your body. It not only tells you when to breathe, it tells you when your blood pressure should go up, when it should come down. Now, if you have in you a kettle full of hurting and strong feelings that have not been released, what's going to happen? Your blood pressure is going to go up. And that's not all that's going to happen to you. Those pent-up feelings and all those hard feelings and that hurt and pain, you say, well, I don't really think about it all the time. You don't, but it's still there. That kettle's still stewing. What's going to happen? Well, it's going to trigger some other physical problems, like not only your high blood pressure, but how about migraine headaches, bleeding ulcers, strokes, depression, even mental illness, to name just a few. Emotions control even the flow of adrenaline through our bodies. And when you get too much of that stuff, you get muscle spasms. You can even blush or have breathing problems. In other words, folks, we have to release that hurt and pain. We've got to find out how to give it up, to let it go. Learn to release your emotions through forgiveness that God brings into your heart and your life. You got that? All right, nod your head up and down. You got it? You got to release it. Now, the second thing here is relinquish your will. Relinquish your will. In other words, you have to come to that point where you say, now I forgive you. I forgive you. Our natural instinct is to hold on to the hurt. I've been hurt, and I'm holding on to it. But even, you know, Jesus hurting on the cross relinquished his will to continue to hold on to that pain. Boy, this is hurting. This hurt me so much, and I'm still hurting, and I'm going to continue to hurt, and I'm just going to hold on to this. Jesus did not do that. He said, Father, forgive them. He relinquished his will. Sinful men did not believe in him. Sinful men put him on the cross, but Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them. How can you do that? First of all, because forgiveness is not a feeling. You say, well, I thought it was. No, forgiveness is not a feeling. Hurt is maybe a feeling, but forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness is a choice. It's not whether you feel, I don't feel like forgiving you. It's a choice I make. I forgive you. I forgive you. It's a choice. I will forgive. I relinquish my will. I forgive you. I'm not going to hold on to it. It doesn't mean you're going to feel any better about what happened. I mean, your hand may, if someone stepped on your toe is still hurting. But I forgive you. It's choosing to release the debt. You don't owe me. You don't owe me for that. And once we take that process or that step in the process of forgiveness, then the forgiveness can move forward. But when we're unwilling to let go of our hurt, we're unable to forgive. and it's a loser's game. It's a dead-end street. It's not taking you anywhere. You say, well, they need to pay the consequences. Well, that's for God to decide. You give it up. God will choose whether or not there are consequences and how severe they are. You know why we don't want to forgive is because we want to not only hold on to the debt, but we want to collect it. I want them to apologize to me. I want them to tell me they're sorry about that. Did you ever think about this? When Jesus forgave those who crucified him on the cross, he did so before they ever came to a point of repentance or belief. And perhaps some would never do that. But he forgave them even though they were not willing to end the pain that they were creating to him. Someone came to me not long ago, and I hear this occasionally. Someone will say to me, well, is it possible to forgive someone when they don't want to change or accept forgiveness? And the answer is yes. Bill Bright years ago wrote a great little book, a little tiny book entitled Learning to Love by Faith. And in it, Bill explained that you can love someone even when they're not willing to receive your love or accept your love, and you do it by faith that someday they will. Someday they will remember your love for them. Someday they will reach out and accept that love. And Jesus on the cross forgave those who put him on the cross, even though they had not changed their mind or their way. Learn to love by faith. Learn to forgive by faith. The Bible tells us in Hebrews, it is impossible to please God except by faith. And forgiveness is impossible without faith. You have to believe and trust that God will work through your act of forgiving someone else. We relinquish our will. We forgive by faith, just as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven us. The Bible says that while we were still yet sinners, what? Christ Jesus died for us. What does that mean? God forgave you and me our sins before we ever asked him or before we ever believed in him. He did so by that faith. And forgiveness starts when we relinquish our will to collect on debts that are owed to us. Step number three. Release the debt. Release the debt. I cancel your debt. Now, you can't forgive in your own strength. Neither can I. I know people who will forgive folks out of convenience. Easier to forgive them than it is to go through the process or the mess. Some people will forgive for appearance. After all, I'm the Sunday school teacher or the deacon or the pastor. I'm supposed to forgive. For appearance sake, I will forgive. Some people out of human kindness will forgive. But only through Jesus Christ and in the power of God's love are we able to forgive everyone always for all things. Sooner or later, you're going to reach that point where only through Christ you can forgive what's happened in your life. Some people will forgive certain sins. Well, I'll forgive them for stepping on my toe, but they steal my car. I'm not going to forgive them. Some people will forgive certain people. Well, he's my brother, or she's my sister, or that's family, you know, and I forgive. But I'm not going to forgive my neighbor or someone else. How do we forgive everyone? Have you ever tried to manufacture forgiveness? I'm hurting, and they've hurt me, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to forgive them. And you just need to forgive them. You just have to work harder, don't you? But when Jesus Christ comes into our lives and takes charge, takes control of our lives, he changes us. God gives us the equipment to be a different kind of person, to forgive. He gives us the ability to forgive. On the cross, Jesus proved his willingness and his power to forgive by forgiving those who were tormenting him and forgiving and hurting him. And that's why it is so important, absolutely necessary, that we learn to and allow Christ to come into our hearts and take control of our lives, or we'll never be able to get rid of this debt and burden of hurt and pain that we carry in our lives. When Wayne Dyer was 2 years old, he was part of a family of three boys, a mother and a father who abandoned his mother and abandoned those three boys, left them to themselves. The mother, being a single mother, she was unable to care for the three boys. Know what happened? The three boys wound up in foster homes, separated. As Wayne grew older, he became bitter and angry over the hurt that his father had caused him in his life. He became a troubled man. He married. He was abusive to his wife and family. Chronically unemployed. He turned to alcohol for a way out. Spent a lot of time in jail, prison. Wayne Dyer. In the 1970s, Wayne's bitterness toward his father, who had run off and left him, turned into absolute hatred. He hated that man. He hated him because he had left him, and he thought about it all the time. And he heard, by some means or other, that his birth father had died in New Orleans, of all places. And Wayne Dyer, by that time, was traveling in business. He went to New Orleans. And someone showed him the cemetery where his father was buried. And he went to the grave of his father. And he stood there at the cemetery and looked down at the grave of his father. And he said, all that pent-up emotion and feeling came out. He said, I hate you. I hate you for what you've done to me and what's happened to me. He just let it out. As he stood there thinking about all that pain and hurt and unforgiveness had cost him, he had one of those God moments in his life when God spoke to his heart, and he said, Dad, I just want you to know today, I forgive you. He made a choice. I forgive you. I canceled the debt. You don't owe me anything anymore. I forgive you. Then he walked out of that cemetery. And Wayne Dyer said, it was just as fresh as if it had happened that day, he said years later, I felt like I was free. I was free. I'd been set free. He found peace. He found peace in his heart. His family life improved. He decided to write a book about it, called Erroneous Zones. The book sold over 1 million copies, made him a rich man, made him famous. People had him on television. He lectured people all over the country. And it was all about being able to forgive. And he said it all started there, standing in a damp cemetery in Louisiana. His willingness to release the debt that his father owed to him was the ultimate sign of his spiritual journey, his maturity, and his responsibility. He forgave him. Forgiveness is the only way to peace, not only here, but hereafter. Some of you here this morning are carrying a lot of debts. You got a ledger. I heard about a little girl, a teacher, I don't know why she did this, but she was about third or fourth grade. She handed out a piece of paper, and she told all the kids in the class, write down a list of someone who has hurt you. And this little, she heard, saw one little girl just writing. She went back to look at, the little girl had written all the way down the page. She had 20 or 30 things that had been done to her. She had a lot of debts. Some of you are like that. Maybe you only have one or two, but they're tearing you down. They're weighing you down, ruining your health. Let them go. Release them by faith. Let God take care of it. Step four, realize certain certain realities. In other words, I've learned from my hurt. I've learned from my hurt. Forgiveness is more than an antidote for your anger. It's trusting the provision that God has made for your sufficiency. It's trusting God to level the playing field in your life. It's a sign that God is more than enough to meet your needs. Inviting others to the trial won't take away the pain. Telling others your hurt is not going to remove the pain. Forgiveness makes it possible for God to heal our hurt instead of focusing on the one that has wronged us. Only forgiveness will take you out of the courtroom of bitterness. Now, how do you know when you're forgiven? How do you know when you're forgiven? When you no longer feel you got to collect for it. When you no longer feel like he, she, they owe me an apology. The debt is paid. You no longer want to punish them. And like Jonah in the Old Testament, you no longer are even excited about God punishing them. You know, you have forgiven them. When I let go of the deep feelings that are attached to my pain, when I realize that forgiveness is a decision, not a feeling, when I give my hurt to Jesus, I know I have forgiven. I've learned that. And I'm on my way. Oh, but there's one more. This is the fifth one. Reconcile whenever possible. Reconcile if you can. I am trying to reconcile. Jesus said in his first sermon, Matthew chapter 5, verse 24, he said, first be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. We really ought to have a time, biblically, to just, before we receive the offerings, we ought to allow folks time to go to the Lord and remove any debts we feel need to be collected. I release my emotions. I relinquish my will. I realize certain basic realities, and I release the debt. Now I'm going to reconcile if I can. But what if you can't reconcile? Is reconciliation always possible? And the answer is no. Reconciliation may not be possible. We think of those who were gathered around the cross of Jesus, and all of those that Jesus forgave, did they all come to repentance? Did they all come to realize what they were doing? Probably not. But did they all experience the willingness of Jesus to forgive them? Absolutely. He forgave them. Reconciliation depends on the willingness of the person who has hurt you to receive or accept responsibility. Forgiveness doesn't minimize or remove the hurt that they've caused you. But it depends on their willingness to accept if you've hurt them, your forgiveness, or if they've hurt you, your acknowledgement of that. About 25, 30 years ago, I don't remember exactly when it was, I was working with an organization in our Southern Baptist Convention, and there were about 30 of us on this board, and there was a leader, an executive leader there, and some things were said and done that really hurt me. I mean, they really did hurt me. I was uptight about it. I knew I was hurt. How did I know I was hurt? Because every day I would say to the Lord, "Lord, you know, this is hurting me, and this is bothering me, and I knew it wasn't right. I knew it wasn't right for me to feel that anger and hurt, and I really was uptight about it. In fact, it wasn't just every day. If I found somebody that would talk to me about it, I would talk to them about it. I thought about it all day long. I go to bed at night, and I knew it was wrong, and I'd say, "Lord, forgive me for this," you know, But I kept repeating unconsciously these same steps that we're just talking about here. I knew it was wrong for me to feel that this person owed me a debt or an apology or an acknowledgement. I couldn't, but I knew I was angry. I knew I was bitter, and I knew I was wrong. How am I going to get free from this? Every day, several times a day, "Lord, here it is again. I'm thinking about it again. Please forgive me." Then one day I woke up, or I was aware that it had been several hours since I had thought about this thing. I'm serious, folks. This thing was occupying my mind. Several hours I hadn't thought about it. I thought, "Oh, wow." And then later, as I continued to pray that way, and I really meant it. I wanted free. I wanted to lay that burden down. I wanted to get rid of that debt of anger and bitterness. It had been several days. And then I realized what was happening. The process of forgiveness was taking place. I would release my feelings. I'm hurt. I would relinquish my will. I would pay the debt, whatever needed to be done. And it was going away. In fact, it was months later. I don't know how many months had happened, but maybe a little bit more than that. Maybe almost a year had gone, and the gentleman who had offended had gotten into some trouble with the board and had left. And I happened to be in New Orleans, of all places, and I looked up, and I looked across this large room of hundreds of people, and who did I see but the fellow who had hurt me so much? And you know what happened? Right on the spot, the Holy Spirit said, "You know, you ought to go and apologize to that guy for what you did." Now, he was the one who hurt me, but I knew I was wrong. And I said, "Lord, I'll do it." I walked across that room, walked up to that fella, put out my hand, but before I could say a word, he said something angrily and turned and walked away. He was a Christian brother, but he wasn't ready for me to say to him what I needed to say, wanted to say. But I knew in my heart at that moment that I had forgiven him. And as he walked away, I prayed and asked the Lord, "Please change his heart. Please change his attitude about this. I know he doesn't owe me. And I have released that, and I ask your forgiveness." I couldn't reconcile with him. In my heart of hearts, I pray that God has dealt with that situation is taken care of. The process of forgiveness. You can have that same experience today. It begins with a choice. You know what's happened. You know who it is. Doesn't matter. What really matters is whether or not you will choose to forgive. "I forgive you in Jesus' name. I forgive you by faith." And let God take care of the rest. Go back to that name you wrote down on your program or mentally in your mind. And in the name of Jesus Christ, who died for you and forgave your sins long before you ever asked him to forgive you, say to God today, "I forgive. I forgive. And may God bless you with all the joy of heaven that comes from that peace of knowing. Let's pray together. Father, you've spoken some words to us today that really turn back the pages of our lives. Remind us of things that we don't want to always be reminded of. Things that have hurt us, that trouble us, that have taken the joy out of our lives. Their constant drip of pain. Lord, today, cleanse our hearts and accept our confession as we release to you the debts that any debts, every debt that we feel might be owed to us. We ask that in the precious name of Jesus. Help us not to ever pick him up again or ever walk away from him again. If we do, Lord, come right back here and do what needs to be done now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing this last song, my prayer today is that God has spoken to your heart the way he has spoken to mine and to the hearts of many others, and that you may not have thought of this today at all. Say, oh Lord, you've been reading my email, you've been reading my mail. Do something about that today. It's possible to do that right where you sit, where you are. That's, I understand that. But sometimes we need to do something a little bit more than that. We need to just stand up and say so. And if you've never asked Jesus Christ for his forgiveness, for your denial and your refusal and your disobedience, today would be a wonderful time to come and stand with me in a moment and say, I want to follow Jesus. I want him to be my Savior. I want to follow him in baptism and show others what he did for me. Take this opportunity to come and do that. I'm not going to ask you for 10 answers to any hard questions or make a speech or anything like that, but I will ask you why you're here, and I hope that you will say today, I've asked Jesus to forgive me. I've asked Jesus to come into my heart. I want to be baptized and follow him as a believer in Christ. Choose this moment to do that. Let's stand while we sing, and you come while we're singing. Will you do that?
Change my heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you. Change my heart, oh
I want to pray for you, with you, and I'm going to ask you to bow your heads just now, everyone here. And if today this word from Jesus there at the cross resonates with your heart, it speaks to your heart, would you like to just lift your hand up, put it right back down, wherever you are, no one's coming to you or anything like that. You've heard what God has said today. Anybody? Some have, others all around. Is there anyone here who wants to be baptized? And when we sing this next song, you come and let us know that. Let's sing once more while we're waiting, okay?
Change my heart, oh God. This is what I...